All right, so we've got these press releases here from Senator Schumer's office about the federal funding freezes for Medicaid and Head Start programs in New York. And let me tell you, it's a real confusing situation.
Yeah, it is. Essentially what we're seeing is the fallout from this executive order that President Trump issued.
To freeze federal funding.
Right, to freeze federal funding. But the issue is that it ended up impacting programs that were supposed to be exempt from that freeze, like Medicaid and Head Start.
And these are not small programs either. We're talking about healthcare for almost 7 million New Yorkers.
Exactly. And then when we look at Head Start, we're talking about childcare services that so many families rely on, especially in some of those more rural parts of the state.
Okay, so let's try to break this down a little bit. Let's start with Medicaid. So get this, the online system that sends the funds to the states actually shut down.
The Medicaid portal.
The Medicaid portal, yeah. It crashed not once, but twice in 2 weeks.
And this is despite the fact that the White House had said that Medicaid wouldn't be affected by the freeze. So you have this real disconnect between what's being said at the federal level and what's actually happening on the ground.
And what kind of impact does that have on people?
Well, think about it from the perspective of a healthcare provider. They're relying on those Medicaid reimbursements to be able to provide care to their patients. And if those payments are delayed or there's uncertainty about when they're going to arrive, it can really disrupt their ability to provide those services.
And of course, there's the impact on the people who rely on Medicaid.
Absolutely. We're talking about almost 7 million New Yorkers who depend on Medicaid for their healthcare. And over 4 million of those recipients are in New York City alone. So any disruption to that program can have a huge impact on a lot of people.
So Senator Schumer obviously wasn't happy about this.
Mm-hmm.
He immediately called for an investigation by HHS to figure out why this happened and to make sure it doesn't happen again. But he also went a step further.
He did. He and Senator Wyden sent this letter to HHS with some very specific questions about the portal shutdown.
What were they asking about?
Well, they wanted to know why state Medicaid offices were locked out of the portal, even though Medicaid was exempt from the freeze. They also wanted to know why the portal's operating hours had been cut back. And they asked what HHS was doing to prevent this kind of disruption from happening again.
So it sounds like he's not just trying to fix the immediate problem, but also trying to send a message.
Right. He's basically putting pressure on the administration to be more transparent and to be accountable for what happened.
Okay, so let's switch gears now and talk about Head Start. It seems like a program that's all about supporting vulnerable children and families would be safe from this kind of mess, right?
Unfortunately, that's not what happened. Even though Head Start was exempt from the freeze, a lot of the programs, particularly those upstate in New York, started experiencing these significant delays in their payments.
And how long are we talking about?
Well, their payments were delayed by a whole week, and that might not sound like a lot, but when you're running a program with limited resources and you're relying on that funding to be able to operate every day counts.
And this isn't just some abstract budget problem either. This is having real-world consequences. The Cattaraugus and Wyoming counties project Head Start actually had to lay off all of their staff and temporarily close their doors.
They had to lay off 84 staff members.
Wow. And how many families are we talking about here who were suddenly left without childcare?
Over 200 families. So it's a pretty significant impact.
And this whole situation really highlights how reliant these Head Start programs are on that federal payment management system, the PMS.
Yeah. Any disruption to that system can have a huge ripple effect across the entire Head Start program. And that's exactly what we're seeing here.
So what's being done about it?
Well, Senator Schumer's leading the charge in the Senate. He's demanding that HHS fix the payment system and release those funds as soon as possible. But he's also working with other senators to put pressure on HHS to address this issue.
And it's not just about the money either, right?
Yeah.
It's also about the lack of communication from HHS.
Absolutely. The uncertainty makes it really difficult for these Head Start programs to plan effectively.
It's more than just frustrating. It's really disruptive. The chairperson of the Cattaraugus and Wyoming County's Project Head Start program, Andre Aldinger, said, "We have almost 200 families without services and 84 employees without a job. To say it's frustrating is an understatement."
And Carolyn Wiggins, the president of the New York State Head Start Association, has also spoken out about this issue. She said, "We have heard from Head Start programs from across the state that have experienced funding delays that rendered them unable to make payroll and in some cases temporarily close."
So these delays are really having a devastating impact. And it seems like Senator Schumer is trying to take a multi-pronged approach to addressing this. He's publicly calling out the issue, he's demanding immediate solutions, and he's also working behind the scenes to put pressure on HHS.
He is, and that speaks to the urgency of this situation. He, along with Senator Kaine and 27 other senators, actually sent another letter this time to HHS and the Office of Head Start, and they made some pretty strong demands in that letter. Well, they demanded that all funding requests submitted through PMS be processed immediately. They also wanted programs in that February 1st grant cycle to get their renewal or award notifications before the deadline. And they emphasized the need for clear and consistent communication from HHS to all Head Start programs.
So they're not just looking for quick fixes, they're also trying to find long-term solutions.
Exactly. They want to make sure that these programs are protected from this kind of disruption in the future. And to do that, they're asking some very pointed questions about what caused these delays in the first place and what steps HHS is taking to prevent them from happening again.
It seems like this whole situation is really a symptom of a much larger problem.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It raises some serious questions about the capacity of these agencies to manage essential programs effectively and the potential consequences when policy decisions aren't thought through carefully.
It's a reminder that these are not just abstract budget items. We're talking about real people, real families who are being impacted by these decisions.
And those impacts can be really significant. It's not just about inconvenience. It's about people's livelihoods, their health, their ability to care for their families.
So we've talked about the immediate impact of these funding freezes. But what about the long-term consequences? Could these disruptions have lasting effects on Medicaid and Head Start?
That's the big question, isn't it? And it's something we need to explore further, because even temporary disruptions can have ripple effects that last for years.
That's a good point. Let's dive into that in the next part of our deep dive. We'll examine the potential long-term consequences of these funding freezes and what it could mean for the future of these crucial programs.
You know, when we start thinking about the long-term consequences, it really highlights how interconnected all these systems are.
Yeah, one thing impacts another and then another.
Right, and it seems like the people who get hit the hardest are always the ones who are already struggling.
It's so true. It's easy to get caught up in the political back and forth and forget that there are actual people whose lives are being affected by these decisions.
Exactly like those families who rely on Head Start for childcare. If those programs have to close or cut back on services, it can make it really tough for parents to work and provide for their families.
It creates this whole cycle of instability.
It does. And it's not just the families who are affected. The staff who work at those programs, they're facing a lot of uncertainty too.
Yeah, it's a tough situation all around. Right. And I think the letter that Schumer and his colleagues sent to HHS and the Office of Head Start really drives that point home.
Oh, definitely. They're demanding answers about why these programs were being disrupted, even though they were supposed to be exempt from the funding freeze.
It's like they're saying, hey, we need to know what's going on here, and we need to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Exactly. They want accountability. Mm-hmm. And they want to know what steps are being taken to protect these vital programs in the future.
And that lack of communication from HHS, it's a major problem.
It is. It creates so much uncertainty for these programs. It makes it almost impossible for them to function effectively.
Trying to put yourself in the shoes of someone running a Head Start program. You're trying to plan for the future, hire staff, and provide consistent services to families. But you have no idea when you're going to get the funding you need.
It would be incredibly frustrating, and it erodes trust in the system as a whole.
If people can't count on these programs to be there when they need them, they lose faith in the government's ability to help.
And that loss of trust can be especially damaging when we're talking about programs that serve vulnerable populations. These are often the people who have the fewest resources and the fewest options.
It's like a vicious cycle. The more vulnerable you are, the more you need these programs.
Yeah.
But then when those programs fail to deliver, it just makes things even harder.
Exactly. And this situation also raises some questions about the capacity of these government agencies to handle these kinds of challenges.
If they're struggling to communicate effectively and process payments on time, it makes you wonder if they're equipped to deal with even bigger problems.
Right. It really highlights the need for strong leadership, effective management, and robust systems.
Without those things in place, even the best programs can fall apart.
And it underscores the importance of oversight and accountability. We need to make sure that these agencies are functioning effectively and that they're being held responsible for their actions.
So let's bring this back to the average New Yorker. Mm-hmm. What are the potential long-term implications of these funding freezes?
Well, in the short term, we're already seeing the impact surrounding. Programs are closing staff or being laid off, and families are struggling to access the services they need. But the long-term consequences could be even more significant.
What do you mean?
Well, take the example of a family that loses access to childcare because of a Head Start closure. That can make it incredibly difficult for the parents to work, which can then lead to financial instability. And that can have a ripple effect on other areas of their lives, like housing or food security.
So it's like a chain reaction.
It is. And then there's the potential for long-term damage to the programs themselves. Repeated disruptions can lead to high staff turnover, a loss of morale, and a decline in the quality of services.
It becomes harder to attract and retain qualified staff, which just makes the problem worse.
Exactly. And we can't overlook the psychological impact of these disruptions either. All that uncertainty and instability can create a lot of stress and anxiety for the people who rely on these programs.
It's a reminder that these policy decisions have real-world consequences. They impact people's lives in very tangible ways.
Absolutely. And those impacts can be long-lasting, especially for those who are already struggling.
So it's not just about this immediate crisis, it's about the potential for long-term harm.
Right. And it's a call to action for all of us to pay attention, to hold our elected officials accountable, and to advocate for policies that support the well-being of our communities.
We need to make sure that the government is functioning effectively and that it's meeting the needs of its citizens, particularly the most vulnerable among us.
This situation with Medicaid and Head Start is a perfect example of why it's so important to invest in our social safety net and to make sure that it's there for those who need it.
It's about building a society where everyone has the opportunity to thrive regardless of their circumstances.
It is. And so what can we do? What actions can we take to make a difference?
Well, I think the first step is to stay informed. Pay attention to what's happening in your community and at the state and federal level.
Knowledge is power, right?
Exactly. And once you're informed, use that knowledge to take action. Contact your elected officials and let them know that these issues matter to you.
Support organizations that are working to advocate for vulnerable populations and to strengthen our social safety net.
Volunteer your time. Donate to those organizations. Every little bit helps.
Talk about these issues with your friends, your family, your neighbors.
Right.
Raise awareness and build support for those who are struggling.
It's easy to feel overwhelmed by all of this. But remember that every action, no matter how small, can make a difference.
It's about working together as a community to create a more just and equitable society.
A society where everyone has the opportunity to reach their full potential.
Absolutely. And this situation with Medicaid and Head Start is a wake-up call. It shows us what can happen when we don't invest in our social safety net.
It's a call to action, to stand up, speak out, and fight for a better future for all.
And remember, it's about more than just funding. It's about compassion, empathy, and a commitment to creating a society that works for everyone.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about the immediate impact of the funding, freezes the potential long-term consequences, and the need for action. But what's next? Where do we go from here? What does a more just and equitable future actually look like?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it?
It is. It's a lot easier to talk about the problems than it is to come up with actual solutions.
I think it starts with kind of a change in how we think about these social programs.
Okay.
Like instead of seeing them as just handouts or a burden on taxpayers, we need to start seeing them as investments in our future.
Investments in people and communities.
Exactly. Like when kids have access to quality early childhood education, they're more likely to do well in school, graduate, and get good jobs.
That benefits everyone, right? Not just those individual kids.
Right. It's a win-win.
And then when you think about healthcare, when people have access to affordable health care through programs like Medicaid, they're healthier, they can work, they can contribute to society.
And they're not burdened by medical debt, so they have more money to spend, which helps the economy.
So investing in these programs just makes sense from a lot of different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to make sure that that money is being used wisely.
Oh, absolutely. We need to make sure these programs are efficient and effective, and we need to cut down on the bureaucracy and the waste and make sure that the money is actually getting to the people who need it.
And we need transparency so that people know where their tax dollars are going and how they're being used.
Transparency is key. It helps build trust.
This whole funding freeze situation has really shown us how vulnerable these systems are. So what can we do to make them more resilient so they can handle these kinds of challenges in the future?
Well, one idea is to build in more redundancy.
Mm.
Like, instead of having just one central portal for Head Start funding, why not explore different ways to distribute those funds?
So if one system goes down, there's a backup.
Right, exactly. And we could also look at giving these programs more flexibility so they can adapt more easily to change.
Give them more power to make decisions at the local level.
Yeah. Because the people who are closest to the problem often know best how to solve it.
That makes sense. So it's not just about top-down solutions, it's about empowering communities to come up with their own solutions.
Exactly. It's about collaboration and working together.
Well, this has been a really insightful conversation. I feel like I've learned a lot. Any final thoughts for our listeners before we wrap up?
Just remember that change is possible. It takes effort, it takes commitment, but we can make a difference if we work together.
It starts with each of us, right?
It does. Every single one of us can play a role in creating a better future.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it informative and maybe even inspiring.
It was my pleasure.
And to all our listeners out there, remember, the deep dive doesn't end here. Keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep pushing for a better world. We'll see you next time.